Good morning, basketball heads. It's been a few days since I last had my podcast recorded for you guys. I was a bit under the weather, and I'm back at it right now. I don't know if you guys could notice from the first two podcasts, there were a couple of times when I was coughing. That was just probably the beginning of that, me getting sick a little bit. But I'm on the mend, and I'm back to talk some basketball and what's happened recently. First of all, I did not get a chance to dive into that double overtime majestic game between the Bucks and my Raptors. I will say this because a few other things have happened and I have a limited amount of time based on what I want to do in with regards to the podcast time-wise. I will say this, that the fact that Kawhi Leonard needed and got some help, not as much as he did in game four, which was 2 days ago, game five being tonight, I'm hyped for that. What he needed in game three was a bunch of resilient teammates. Even though their shots were not going in, they played much harder than games one and two, probably combined. Like, put it this way. Game one should have been won. We should have won that game. Game two was a down-the-toilet type of game. It was just like, all right, they came and mollywopped us, right? But the way the Raptors in at the end of the fourth quarter and into the first overtime and into the second overtime, even though Kawhi was the one that scored like the last 8 points, I believe, the way the team defended, that block by Siakam on Brook Lopez was just as important. Let's be honest. Just as important as the 8 points or the flurry of points that Kawhi Leonard had for us. It's not a one-person team. A good player, a great player, can carry a team. But all the other players still have to do something. That's what I love about basketball. You have a good player on offense, he can get you a W. He can get you a win. On defense, it's rare that you have a player play about the same amount of excellent offense as he plays defense like Kawhi Leonard does. So that's a luxury on its own. But when you have teammates that know their role, even though they're going through a funk or whatever it is, they're not shooting well. I'm talking about you, Fred Van Fleet. Thanks for showing up in game four. Hope it continues, because I was one of the few people, not few people, I was one of the many people that was tweeting, y'all bench this dude. Why is Jeremy Lin not playing? You know, I was getting frustrated with that. But then you played really well in game four, and then people coming out, well, you should have trusted him. No, that's not how it works. You see, if you give a bench player, a role player, who's a significant part of the team, if you give them a lot of time and a lot of wiggle room to make mistakes and not contribute the way you expect them to normally contribute, you know what happens? The guy that's next to him or that's next up for that position starts wondering, whoa, will I ever get my shot? This is my opportunity. He's not playing well. That's why I'm on this team. I'm on this team to get that opportunity to get in there and help the team. If this guy is not helping the team, put me in and see if I can. That's how I felt about Jeremy Lin getting the opportunity. And I thought, and I'm not wrong about it, he was playing like crap. The only good game he had until 2 days ago was game one. So, I think it was Leo Routens, who I'm a big fan of, a respected dude. In my opinion, a Canadian icon basketball-wise in terms of what he's done for the country when he coached Team Canada and when they played at Syracuse, when I first came to Canada. Syracuse used to be my favorite team for like a month. Then I discovered Michigan. Go Blue. No, oh, by the way, the hire of Juwan Howard. That brother deserved a chance, and I'm so happy he got it. So back, let me get back on track. The opportunity for Jeremy Lin was there. But I'm glad the usual Fred VanVleet is back. Now, back to the end of game three. I'm happy with the outcome. Obviously, we got the W. The fact that it went to double overtime actually, I think, benefited us. Because the Bucks, based on what happened in game four, the Bucks probably thought to themselves, whoa, it took them a double overtime game for them to beat us in their own home. Yeah, we got this, guys. We can, like, beat them handily. So I think they had that self of overconfidence that came into game four. And when they realized that the system, the adjustment that Nick Nurse, the Raptors coach, made, was actually helping the Raptors and really making it hard for the Bucks to run their flow and have their best player Giannis, you know, do the one man fast break that he normally does, that really changes momentum a lot. And that's a lot of reasons why they win. Shooting and that dribble drive that he does down the middle or from the angles, and he gets to the basket because of his length and his athleticism. The adjustment when they said playing a 3-2 or 2-3 system where they'll create a wall down the middle, or whether it's on the side from the baseline, they'll create that wall regardless of where it is. There's always a wall meeting him about 15 feet away from the basket. Now, that alone could get us a W, because I don't think he's going to be able to shoot 9 for 18 of jump shots. He might get a good, like, 50% from jump shots. I don't think he can. It's not his game, and he needs a whole summer of working on that. Yes, he can knock down a couple of threes here and there, but, you know, a contested shot for a guy who's not a good shooter, percentages drop big time. So I think that was a big adjustment, and I think the Bucks came in to game four thinking, well, you know what? Double overtime game just to beat us? We got them in game four. Well, will the real Raptors stand up? Will the real Raptors please stand up? And they did. Game four came around, and that system worked again. This time around, the role players made shots. Kawhi Leonard, I really hope he can get back to normal, because I think we can beat the Bucks, and I really, honestly, and this sounds weird to some people, but if you look at the regular season, and I know you don't want to put too much stock into the regular season and how teams matched up and played, because playoff comes around and coaches adjust. A lot of good coaches have a whole new set of plays for the playoffs or schemes. Might be a certain play, but the schemes differently, you know, to throw you off. So I really hope Kawhi is good enough, because I think we can get to the finals, and I think we can make some noise. I'm not going to predict an outcome against the Warriors, but I think we can make some noise. But we got to deal with this Bucks and win two more games and advance. So game four came around, and these guys played their hearts out, and they made their shots. The role players. Look, I got to clap for my man, Norman Powell, man. My brother said, you know what? No matter what's been going on, me riding the bench, I'm going to come out and ball. And he did. And now he's making his shots. The guy is uber athletic. When he was in during the NBA draft a few years ago, the year he got drafted, I was actually hoping they'd draft him. Because I watched only one highlight of him going coast to coast. And I'm like, this is a two guard that is uber athletic. Yo. We need this guy on our squad. Now, I'm not a scout, but, you know, I fall in love with athleticism quickly. Athleticism and good shooting. Now, if you find that in one package, I think it's a gold mine most of the time for a perimeter player. So that's what I'm thinking with Norman Powell. He played well. The aforementioned Fred VanVleet played really well. I'm proud of you. Thank you for showing up. And keep showing up. That's what I got to say. Keep showing up. And then Siakam had a quiet game, but what he does, he disrupts. He's a disruptor. His game throws everybody off on the other team, because in one end, you're worried about his athletic ability. Two, you know he can knock down a shot even if he's missing. So you still got to respect the fact that he's gone 4 for 5 in games before, not just a game, in games before. So they know he's capable. And when he takes you off the dribble, it's 1-2 dribble, 2 steps, and he's at the rim. He's got a post game that is really good. He's very patient in the post as well. And he needs to improve his passing out of the post, but he can do that still. So I think he's the ultimate disruptor. So even when he's not playing really well, I want him on the court. Obviously, he's going to be on the court because he's arguably our second and a half best player. You know, I think he's almost neck and neck with Kyle Lowry, who also came to play and balled out of his mind. So I'm thinking now that our squad, our Raptors, have found their groove, you know, a bunch of Stellas that got their groove back. That's the Raptors right now. We all got our groove back. Now we're going to take that groove all the way to Milwaukee and mollywop them again. You know, like we did at home in game 4. I think if we punch them in the teeth on, you know, figuratively speaking, tonight, I think it's a wrap tomorrow in 2 days. I think it's in 2 days, right? I think it's a wrap in game 6. Because I think outside of their shooting, they still have to rely on... Because, listen, Eric Bledsoe is probably one of the most athletic point guards in the league. But he's also one of the most fair-weathered... That's the best way I could put it. 1 minute, he's using that athleticism to the max. But when you play proper defense on that athleticism, his finishing ability is really drops. And he's not a good shooter. So I think with him getting minutes and not being as aggressive because he's not a good shooter, that plays in our favor. Lowry is a much better point guard. Not as athletic, but is a much better point guard than he is. So Lowry wins that. Right? I think Brooke is a 7-footer that's going to give us more problems. But in the last 3 games, he hasn't really been a factor. Mirotic, I hope I said his name correctly. We need to get him in foul trouble. Because if he gets in foul trouble, that takes another element of shooting away, plus that height. I mean, that like... Brooke and Mirotic are 2 7-footers. I think Mirotic is like 6'11", or a full 7-footer. Who are shooters? You know, they can get boards because they're taller and they're capable, but they're not going to bang in the post. So if we get them in trouble by forcing them to play defense in a post, I'm looking at you, Ibaka. I'm looking at you, Gasol. I'm looking at you, Siakam. Get them in trouble in the post. Foul trouble in the first, you know, 12 minutes to 7 minutes of the game. Get them 2 fouls. He'll have to sit on the bench. Now we have the advantage again. Because our playmaking abilities and Kawhi Leonard, even if it is at 85, 75%, whatever it is still enough to beat this team. Now, to wrap up, I want to talk about the Golden State Warriors and what they did to Portland. They swept Portland a few days ago. So they're sitting at home right now just waiting for whomever it is between the Bucks and the Raptors. And I got to say, For anyone that knows me well, I'm not a fan of Golden State. It's nothing personal, except it is. No, seriously, I don't like Golden State. I don't like Draymond Green. Now, here's the thing with me. I can separate not liking a player from respecting their game. I don't like them for various reasons, like antics. Okay, I'm watching you play and you're whining all the time, but you're complaining about other people whining, the hypocrisy in your game, or what you complain about. Those things turn me off as a fan of your game, right? The fact that they're winning all the time and they got KD to come join their team, I would never respect that. Never respect that. I can respect your game, KD, but I will never respect that move, no matter what. That move is pure doo-doo, straight up. So, I know I said that my podcast would be around 10 minutes, and I realized, man, I got a lot to say, so I'm not capping it anymore. I'm just going to go until I feel like, okay, it's time. But it usually won't be more than 20 minutes. I'm saying that now, right? Let's just hope. So, KD goes down, and everyone is thinking, well, in the series versus Portland, it's going to be a series. It's not going to be a sweep. It's going to be a series. Portland is going to get some games because, you know, they can. And you know what happened? You know what I noticed? Steph Curry found that he needed to be his aggressive self again. I mean, the guy is 6'3", right? And he can pretty much bomb from anywhere. And he just keeps launching. And he's the best shooter in the history of the game. I thought Portland was going to take at least one or two games. Especially one at home. In their home in Portland. And it seemed that way. There were times when I would be watching the game and it would be, Portland is up by 17. And I like, all right, cool. Let me go to the bathroom. Let me go to the kitchen. Let me go do something. And I come back. Portland is up by 12. Oh, okay. Well, it's no big deal. Then I'm watching the game. Game is tied. And all of a sudden, I realized when it comes to Golden State, aside from the fact that they're a well-oiled machine, especially when they are feeling it, but that machine thrives off momentum. And I know some people might say, well, every team thrives off momentum. It's a game of runs. Not as much as the Warriors. The Warriors survive primarily off runs. If you look at all their successes, when they blow you out, it's runs. When they come back, it's runs. In the fourth quarter, when it's a close game and they close it out and win the game, it's runs. Yeah, there are times when they'll be tied, they'll make a clutch shot, and the game has been going back and forth. But most of the time, from what I've seen, it's runs. Now, how do you limit runs? Play the half-court game? With a team that's willing to bomb from anywhere, playing a half-court game can work for so long until one of those trigger-happy players like Klay or Steph or some of the other bench players that just like, oh yeah, this is the system we run, just decides to just bomb away from anywhere. And they make one shot, and that makes them feel good. See, Golden State is the only team, excuse me, that I know in the entire league that a dunk on someone on any other team, say a Philadelphia player dunks on the best player on Milwaukee, right? The momentum, that feeling that excites the crowd, that feeling that excites the players from Philadelphia, you know, gets them going and could change momentum. Those kind of plays, a huge block. With Golden State, all it takes is 1-3 from Steph. You could be down by 29, and Steph has missed 9 shots. He makes 1-3, all of a sudden they feel the pep in the step, and they feel like they can win the game. And then they come back and win the game. So, I think they're beatable. I think our system works well with them. I don't think Milwaukee's system works well with them because I think we have shown a formula that could work. And I think Golden State can do the same thing with the wall and the system that Nick Nurse used to stop slow down Giannis. So I think we, I know this is just because I'm a Raptors fan and I live in Toronto. I hope we are the ones to advance. And I think because they can't play that wall system and they're going to have a problem with Kawhi Leonard. And I'm sure they'll put Klay or Draymond on Kawhi. But I think Kawhi still gets the upper hand on those two offensively because hampered as he is with his injury, they might, both of those guys, depending on the matchups, might be equal now on defense. But I think he's still an air or just an inch or two better than them defensively. So I think the way we play and our style would really benefit us. I can't guarantee that I know for certain that yes, or that I'm super, super confident that we'll take it. But here's what I'm saying. We need to take care of tonight in Milwaukee. Take care of game 6 at home before we start talking anything else. So that's it for me today. I'm going to sign off. You just heard me rant. This is Left-Handed Layups. I didn't even mention the name at the beginning. Until next time, keep balling. Peace.